This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon, and I'm joined today by our research fellow.
And I'm Dr. Alara. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from the 2026 edition of Neurologia Medico-Chirurgica. The paper is titled Comparison of Anterior Lateral Ventricular Index with Evans Indexed Callosal Angle and Disproportionately Enlarged Subarachnoid Space Hydrocephalus in Postoperative Evaluation of Idiopathic Normal Pressure Hydrocephalus.
This is a topic that hits home for anyone covering a busy adult hydrocephalus clinic. We all know the Hakim's triad, and we certainly spend a lot of time looking at Evans index. But this study asks a critical question. Is there a better radiological marker to track how our patients are actually doing after we place a shunt?
Exactly. The researchers conducted a retrospective analysis of 46 patients who underwent ventriculoperitoneal shunt surgery between January 2019 and February 2025. They used pre- and postoperative cranial CT and MRI scans to measure four specific radiological markers: the Evans index, the anterior lateral ventricular index, which we'll call ALVI, the callosal angle, and the presence of disproportionately enlarged subarachnoid space hydrocephalus, or DESH.
It's an interesting cohort. They didn't just look at the films, they mapped those images to clinical parameters, gait performance, specifically the 10-meter walking test and 360-degree turning steps, as well as urinary continence. Alara, let's dive into the radiological results. What happened to these indices after the shunt was placed?
The changes were quite significant across the board. Both the Evans index and the ALVI decreased postoperatively with high statistical significance. Both p-values were less than 0.001. To be specific, the Evans index went from a mean of 0.388 down to 0.336. The ALVI dropped from 0.552 to 0.479.
And the callosal angle?
That also showed a significant increase, as you'd expect when the pressure is relieved. It went from an average of 85.3 degrees preoperatively to 99.7 degrees postoperatively.
So we see the ventricle shrinking and the callosal angle widening. That's the textbook postoperative picture. But the study went deeper into how these measures correlate with each other. What did the correlation analysis show?
This is where it gets nuanced. The reduction in ALVI correlated moderately with the reduction in the Evans index, with an R value of 0.37. However, the correlation between the ALVI reduction and the callosal angle increase was much weaker, only 0.26, and that wasn't even statistically significant, with a p-value of 0.080.
That's a key point for the residents listening. These markers are all looking at the same pathology, but they aren't necessarily telling us the same thing about the brain's morphology. Now let's get to the most important part for a practicing surgeon, the clinical outcomes. How did the patients actually do?
Clinical improvement was clear. Gait performance improved significantly across the cohort. Regarding urinary symptoms, continence recovery was achieved in 40.9% of the patients who were affected preoperatively.
But the real headline of this paper is which radiological marker best predicted that improvement, right?
Precisely. The study found that ALVI reduction showed stronger correlations with clinical success than the traditional Evans index or callosal angle. Specifically, the correlation between ALVI reduction and gait improvement was R equals negative 0.45, which was highly significant at P equals 0.002. It also correlated better with continence recovery, with an R value of negative 0.33.
That's impressive. For years, we've leaned on the Evans index as our primary linear measure. But this data suggests that the anterior lateral ventricular index might actually be a more sensitive and clinically relevant measure for postoperative evaluation. It seems to bridge the gap between what we see on the CT scan and how the patient is actually walking in the hallway.
I found the findings on DESH particularly interesting as well. While DESH is a hallmark for diagnosing INPH, this study found that DESH positivity was not significantly associated with postoperative outcomes.
That's a vital distinction. It reminds us that what makes a good diagnostic tool doesn't always make a good longitudinal tracking tool. So what's the take-home message for our colleagues and students?
The author suggests that ALVI can serve as a valuable complementary parameter to the Evans index and callosal angle. Because it correlates more strongly with gait and continence recovery, it might give us a more accurate picture of radiological improvement in our postoperative INPH patients.
It's a call for us to be more precise in our measurements. Don't just look at the Evans index, check the ALVI. It's a simple addition to our workflow that could offer a better reflection of the patient's functional status.
Definitely. It's about moving beyond just seeing smaller ventricles and toward understanding the specific radiological changes that signify clinical success.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Excellent breakdown of the data, Dr. Alara.
Thank you, Dr. Alara.
To our listeners, keep an eye on those anterior horns. We'll see you next time on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast.